Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second volume, chapter 4, text 155 through 157, I believe. Okay. Yata dara lamba naratna bhuta narayano sausa narota datta shri dama dagnya kapila deyopi ye kautukaccha pratima sarupa ye swargalokadishu vishnu yagesh viradayomi Bhavatai Vajrishta Matsyo Takoramascha Mahavaraha Shimana Shingho Nanuvamanascha Anyevatarascha Tatai Vatesham Pratyekam Iha Bidaya Pravedya Te Satchira Nandagana Hisarve Nanatva Bhajo Pisadaka Rupaha. Translation. In the Lord's appearances on earth, he shows similar varieties and equality. The Lord's forms are the shelter and the treasure of the earth. Among them are Naranarayan and Dattatreya, and Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, and Kapila. There are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities, and those such as Vishnu and Yageshwara, whom you have seen on Svargaloka and other higher planets. There are such various incarnations as Matsya, Kurma, Mahavaraha, Shriman Narsingha, and Vamana. Each of these forms of the Lord has his own activities and names, yet all of them are full in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Though manifesting variety in substance, they are eternally one. It's a longer commentary than usual, and I'm going to read part of it and then comment, and then we'll continue. Commentary. Liberated devotees of the Supreme Lord can display varieties of personalities within the basic oneness of spiritual existence, because they are empowered by the Lord, who shares with them his inconceivable ability to be simultaneously one and many. God is one, but he displays himself with infinite variety. He has his original form as Krishna in Goloka, and his expansion as Narayan in Vaikuntha, plus innumerable other expansions in the spiritual and material worlds. Counted among the avatars he displays in the material realm are his deity forms. In different corners of the universe, he appears as innumerable deities, each with its own form and personality like Sri Sankarsana in Ilavarta Varsha, Sri Jagannath in Purushottam Kshetra, and Sri Ranganath in Rangapuri, to mention just a few. In the heavenly planets, he appears in expansions such as Vamana, Vishnu, and Yageshwara. Throughout the material worlds, he descends in many incarnations, some famous like Lord Matsya and Lord Kurma, others lesser known like Hayagriva and Lord Hansa. The activities, names, and forms of these avatars are manifold, but they are all one personality of Godhead, complete in unadulterated eternity, knowledge, and bliss. As stated in the Mahasanghita, Tasya Savarvat Tadeshu Na Visheshusti Kaschana Dehi Deha Vibedascha Na Pare Vijite Kvachit Sarve Vatara Vyaptascha Sarve Sukshmascha Tattvata Aishwarya Yogad Bhagavan Kridat Yesha Janardhanaha. There is no difference between any of the incarnations of the Lord, and no difference between his body and his soul. In truth, all the incarnations are all pervasive and infinitely subtle. Thus plays the Supreme Person, Janardhan, making use of his opulent powers. Stop there for now. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pungum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Niravishesha Shanyavari Paschachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Last verse, we spoke about the hierarchy of tastes and the simultaneous equality within that hierarchy. And we simply elaborated on the point that although there is a hierarchy of tastes, each and every devotee in Vaikuntha experiences a taste which is most satisfying to him. And therefore, because it's most satisfying to him, he thinks it's the topmost. And that conception is equally shared amongst everybody. So because there is a hierarchy of higher and lesser, still for the residents of Vaikuntha, there's no hierarchy because everybody's feeling the topmost happiness. And therefore, there is equality. There cannot be any sense of inequality if everybody is feeling the topmost happiness. There seems to be some equality there, and that is the point which is explained in the commentary and which we also spoke about last time, and I'm not going to go into it again. But now we're going to go into about the different expansions of the Lord, how they also seem to be very different, but yet, as the verse itself explains, though manifesting variety in substance, they are eternally one. And the first sentence of the verse says, in the Lord's appearances on earth, he shows similar varieties and equality. Now, to explain this, I wanted to use as evidence, and also the evidence which I will use, I will also explain. But the evidence is something that I was able to find from the Brahma Sutras, which Baladeva Vidyabhushan had given some commentaries on and which were translated as well. And there is a sutra which really nicely covers this very important point of why is it that there's so much variety? Why couldn't it just be one? We've already discussed this, obviously, many times in the course of our discussion about the different moods, rasas, different relationships, and why the Lord, of course, experiences an increasing pleasure by the different varieties of relationships he has with his devotees. And of course, the other side, we've also explained that his devotees have different varieties of moods. And it's not all one. And because the devotees have different varieties of moods, the Lord being very inclined to reciprocate with their moods, he adopts different varieties, forms, and different pastimes and potencies. Some more potencies than others, some less potencies than others, and he just adopts these different forms, pastimes, and potencies because of the different moods. And and although we have many times stated what his greatest inclination is, it doesn't mean that everybody else is off the map. It means it means that he's going to reciprocate. He's not that type of Supreme Lord who dismisses purity as irrelevant. And we've already explained also before in various indirect ways, some more direct ways, why these different varieties of moods exist, because of the various methods of worship, according to different times, different places, and different perfections achieved, especially those achieved prior to the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the various other methods of worship which were performed since time immemorial. And there are unlimited perfected souls who, by dint of their method of worship, they achieve their desired destination. And the Lord, of course, is there for them. That's just a little summary. But I wanted to read this verse and a commentary which very nicely explains this point. So, it's Sutra 3235 and 36. And because it's a sutra, it's simply a few Sanskrit words. stana visheshat pakasa divat upapatescha. Translation. Translation is a little bit, it's definitely expanded upon. There is a difference between the manifestations of the Lord due to the place and purpose of that manifestation, as in the case of light, etc. We'll talk about light, because there is an example how light in a room may it be in the middle of the room, but depending upon the places it expands to, it may reflect off a brilliant surface, it may hit a colorful surface, and it may manifest in different ways according to the surface or the receptacle of the light. This is explained in more detail. I'm just giving a little brief synopsis of the light example. And for this reason, the scriptural statement about attaining different goals according to one's resolution is appropriate. Commentary. When it is said that the Lord's form consists of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, one should not conclude that his person is therefore monotonous. The variegatedness, in other words, it's all one, monotonous. Every form is concentrated, sat chit ananda. We discussed this last time. Concentrated sat chit ananda means that every form is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. And every one of the Lord's parts and parcels also, by constitution, are meant to be situated on the platform of Sat, Chit, and Ananda as well. And certainly, if we take into consideration that, then there's no room for monotony. We are looking at unlimited variety. The variegatedness of his attributes has eternity, knowledge, and bliss as its essence. And yet, they are all inconceivable, manifested as different and distinct. Thus, the forms of the Lord are different due to being in different places and due to the distinct moods of the devotees. The question may arise as to whether, when the Lord manifests his different forms, are they all equal, or are some greater and some lesser? This is the question. Are they all equal? Or some are greater? Or some lesser? This sutra states that all God's forms are equal, the difference only being in their place or purposes of manifestation in reciprocation with the moods of the devotees. In other words, all forms are equal, but depending upon the moods of the devotees, the Lord in that form may display partial manifestations of his potencies. They may display different features, but it's not the Lord. It's the Lord. And the Lord is one. What is that verse? Oh, I can't remember. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it slips my mind. Ekavastu, panchatattva ekavastu, nahi kichu veda, rasa asvadita tabu vividhava bheda. This verse explains that there are different forms, even in panchatattva, But they're all ekavastu. They're all one. But they display varieties in order to taste different moods. Therefore, there's varieties, although they are one. There's the Lord, there's the expansion of the Lord, there's the incarnation of the Lord, there's the pure devotee of the Lord. They're all manifestations, but and therefore they are one. But in order to taste varieties, there's differences. So the Lord expands into unlimited varieties so that the devotees can taste the particular opulences or form that is most dear to their heart. And that is the point that is made here. The question may arise as to whether when the Lord manifests these different forms, are they equal or some greater and some lesser? This sutra states that all God's forms are equal, the difference only being in their place or purposes of manifestation in reciprocation with the moods of the devotees. The Lord associates with the devotees in five primary relationships: Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Santa is a neutral relationship, as in the case of the yogi and his object of meditation, the supersoul. Dasya is servitude, or the relationship of God as the Lord and the devotee as the servant. Sakya is friendship, in which the Lord and the devotee act as intimate equals. Vatsalya is parental affection, in which the Lord acts like the child of the devotee. And Madhurya, or sweetness, is the relationship in which the Lord acts as the lover and the devotee acts as the beloved. When the Lord manifests a form to reciprocate with a devotee in one of these moods, he is identically the same as when he is in any other of them. In other words, we've already mentioned this, but the point is simply explained again. He's the same person. Same person. Yes, they are the same person. The Lord is the same person. He's not a different person, but he's displaying just what those devotees want from him. That's all. And therefore, for instance, in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami explains how there are different forms of the Lord. And we've already explained many times that Laghu Bhagavatamrita is meant, the Paribhasa Sutra is meant to establish Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the fountainhead of all other expansions. And therefore, the primary form of the Lord is the Svayamrupa. Svayamrupa means that form of the Lord which is not dependent on any other form. That is Svayamrupa. Not dependent on any other form. We often say the original, supreme personality of Godhead. Original form. So, yet, Goswami goes on to explain that there are other expansions of the Lord. They are called Ekatma Rupa, and there's two types. Some are called Svangsa, some are called Vilas. Then there's avesh. These avesh forms are empowered. Different avesh forms. And then there are another form, which is called prabhava. And each of them manifest different qualities, opulences, features, and they are spread throughout the universe in the form of the deities. Some of them incarnate and appear in this universe, such as Parashuram, who is an avesh incarnation of the Lord, mentioned here, such as Lord Kapila. He is not an avesh. He is, I believe he's prabhava form of the Lord. Prabhava form of the Lord is an expansion of the Lord, but doesn't display all the qualities of the Lord. Displays only those qualities which are required for his particular purpose for descent, and especially in reciprocation of those who worship that form. Kapila is known as a sage, and therefore he expounded on Sankhya philosophy to his mother, Devahuti. So these are only a few examples which are given here in this verse. Some of them are deity forms. And these deity forms, as described also in this verse, also appear. They are non-different from the Lord. And we're going to read something also this evening, which is very important to understand. Two references. I don't know if I'll get to them because I still haven't finished the Brahma Sutra quote. But very important references about the worship of the deity and how the form of the deity is eternal. And unless one actually understands and worships the form of the deity as eternal, then the efficacy of his worship is not quite, it's not of any, I won't say it's not of any real value, but it's stunted. And this is also explained in Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Another reference I want to bring out. But that's in reference to the deity forms. I'll come back to the deity forms in just a second. Let me finish the commentary to this verse from the Brahma Sutra, which is giving us this more complete understanding of why the one Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests in unlimited forms in different places for different purposes. So, we said, Madhurya, or sweetness, is the relationship which the Lord acts as the lover and the devotee acts as the beloved. Each form of the Lord is not less than or greater than him, but is completely and indistinguishably him. Now the lamp analogy. When the lamp is placed in the center of a room, the one light appears different according to the different places it illumines. It appears one way due to a shiny surface. Very brilliant. Opulences. Brilliance. Another way due to a rough surface, and another way according to the color of the object it hits. The Lord himself has two moods in which he manifests his various forms. We should all know what those two moods are by now. It's the essence of many of our discussions. I can't ask you to please give me the answer, but I'm sure 95% of you have the answer. Two moods, Aishvaya, Madhurya. The Lord Himself has two moods in which He manifests His various forms, Aishvaya, or lordliness, and Madhurya, or sweetness. When He manifests His forms in the mood of lordliness, they instill a feeling of awe and reverence in the devotees. When He manifests His forms in, But when He manifests His forms in sweetness, that is, in rustic, human-like simplicity, they instill a feeling of intense intimacy in the mood of worship of the devotees. When a devotee is serving a form of the Lord manifested in lordliness, he does so strictly according to all the rules and regulations listed in the scriptures. But when a devotee is serving a form of the Lord manifested in sweetness, he does so according to the moods that spontaneously swell up within his heart. When love of God is tightly regulated by the mandates of Scripture, it is brilliant and dazzling, like the light of a lamp shining inside a white marble temple. But when God's lordliness is overshadowed by His sweet loveliness, the resultant love of God is like the light of a lamp burning inside a temple made of red rubies. It is less brilliant, but more relishable due to its special mellow quality. Another example is that of air, which vibrates with a high, medium, or low sound according to whether it is vibrated by a flute, horn, or drum. As this sutra points out, the different forms of the Lord are identical in substance, but different in mood. If this were not so, there would be no question of the devotees in different moods attaining the same Supreme Lord as the scriptures claim. And then there's a quote from the Chandogya Upanishad. Atakalu kator maya purusha yata kator asmil loki purusho bhavati tateta pretya bhavati sa kratum kurvita. Now, indeed, a person possesses resolution as is his resolution in this world, so does he become on departing from here. Therefore, let him become resolute. These are all elaborations on topics already previously discussed by Sanatana Goswami about the resoluteness in the heart of the worshipper, in the object of his worship, and because of his possessing that resoluteness, so upon from departing here, he achieves the object of his worship, who assumes a form just suitable to his resolute desire. But it's not a different God. It is one Supreme Lord who has manifested, as described, it is the concentrated Sat Chit Ananda, which is all these different forms of the Lord. They are all concentrated Sat Chit Ananda. And they are just simply manifesting according to the moods. And therefore, this also very nicely helps us to understand why Gopakumara is having difficult times relating to everyone's mood. Narada Muni knows why. Gopakumara, trying to understand why, but because he left with that resoluteness, but because that resoluteness was Manangopal, but still, because of his naivete, to him it was still the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he achieved the place of lordliness, where the Lord is manifesting his lordliness. And then the Lord who manifests his lordliness to Gopakumara is going to wonderfully incite, initiate, reciprocate in a suitable way to help him understand. You want to serve me someplace else, not here. And not only that, I want to accept your service someplace else, not here. Such is the reciprocal relationship between the resolute devotee and the resolute Lord, who always is very resolute in his reciprocation and subordination to his resolute devotees who want to serve him in spontaneous love. Always. Therefore, we have so many times said, it is the emperor of all qualities of the Supreme Lord, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in Madhuya Kandambani. It is the emperor which reconciles all contradictions. That the Lord is always resolute to reciprocate with those who are resolute to serve him in spontaneous love. And he likes to become subordinate to their resolute desire to serve him in this way. Resoluteness on both sides. So that is the Brahma Sutra verse and commentary. And as we said, we wanted to speak a little bit about the deity forms. And the deity forms who are also manifest throughout the universe, in different places. Some examples were given in the commentary. They are non-different also. And as I like the use of the word that's given here, is that there are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities in playful ways. I'm going to read, I briefly summarized this in the last class, just simply to introduce what I'm going to read today. And that was what happened when the Mathura Brahmin embarked on his journey after the goddess Kamakya revealed to him within his heart in a dream, and gave him the Gopal mantra, which he should chant, and he began chanting it. And then he started visiting various places. In the course of his wanderings, he came upon a place where there were many Vaishnavas worshipping a deity of Madhava. And when he came upon that place where these Vaishnavas were worshipping Madhava in a way that he didn't really at all understand. Not only did he not understand, but he spoke in a way that was improper to Vaishnavas. And he was corrected by one Vaishnava. And this one Vaishnava who corrected him, feeling compassionate towards him, gave him the proper understanding, which enabled him to understand a more fuller glory of the deity and who the deity is. I hope I'll have time. I'll try my best. I want to cover two points, and then I want to cover these two points, and then we'll stop. But there are two very important points. And the first point is this encounter of the Mathura Brahmin with the deity of Madhava. It's the same volume, chapter 1, text 56. What happened is, the Mathura Brahmin found hundreds of saints gathered near the effulgent lotus feet of Lord Madhava to bathe at dawn in the month of Magh. On every side, he saw them conducting a festival of worship for Sri Vishnu. And they were very joyous. They were singing, dancing, reciting prayers, offering obeisances. It's a very loud chanting of the names of the Lord, with music, dancing, sobbing, cries of love. Because the Mathura Brahmin was innocent, ignorant, and also amazed, he said to those Vaishnavas, "Excuse me, you singers, you reciters of prayers, and you who are falling down on the ground like rods, my dear musicians, chanters, dancers, weeping, crying, Ram, Krishna, adorned. All of you are adorned with beautiful tilak and garlands. Calm down. Just for a moment. And stop making such a racket. What is this ceremony you are observing? Whom are you so reverently worshipping?" Some of the Vaishnavas laughed when they heard this. Others told them, "You fool, just be quiet." Others, compassionate to fallen souls, said something else to him. They said, "Hey, foolish son of a Brahmin, don't you know anything? Don't ever again address Vishnu's devotees like that and speak such nonsense to them. Initiated by our gurus, we always worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu with the mantras and methods they have given us." We talked about the different mantras in the previous class, Vishnu mantras, Vaishnava mantras, and the different destinations one achieves by chanting of these different mantras. "O best of Brahmins, we are worshipping the Lord in various forms. Some of us worship him in his feature as Nrisimha, some as Lord Raghunath, and others as Sri Gopal." Sri Parikshit said, ashamed, the Brahmin then asked with great humility, but with joy, Where does this Lord live? What is he like? What boons is he able to grant?" Vaishnava said, "He's the Supreme Master, and he always lives everywhere, both within and without. Nowhere, no one anywhere compares with him in any respect. He is the super soul within the heart of every living being. The Lord of all lords of the universe, the all-attractive, concentrated embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He dwells in the world of Vaikuntha, where he can always be seen. And to his servants, he gives his very self."
Anyways, they're emphasizing who they're worshiping and being compassionate to the Mathura Brahmin. And they've explained that he's the super soul, Lord of all lords of the universe, all attractive, concentrated embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He dwells in the world of Vaikuntha, where he can always be seen. In other words, his form is eternal. It's not a temporary form. It's not the worship of a temporary form by a person who has an incomplete understanding of how the Lord appears in his Vigraha form. Now, to expand on this, I want to bring out one other point. And this is, we said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm going to try to get it before this microphone goes dead. This one is going to go to dead very soon. It's red. And once it goes dead, we're finished. So, where is it? It's not so long. This is a discussion about Nitya Dhamma and Naimittika Dhamma. Naimittika Dhamma is execution of duties, essentially, which are temporary, time, place, circumstance, circumstantial. Nitya Dhamma is eternal. And there was a question that was specifically asked. The question was asked because the inquirer was wondering, how can you say that worship of the deity is Nitya Dhamma? How can you say that these other activities which you've described as Nitya Dhamma, when it's connected to a temporary body, a form made of material elements, and various other misconceptions with the person who is trying to have clarified by his inquiry about deity worship? The answer is, if one worships Shivigraha, but does not accept that Vigraha is eternal, then it is not worship of an eternal object. If one worships Shivigraha but does not accept that Vigraha is eternal, then it is not worship of an eternal object. However, can't one adopt a temporary means of worship to attain the eternal truth, which is ultimately distinct from any such temporary forms? Answer. Even if that were the case, such temporary worship cannot be called eternal Dhamma or Nitya Dhamma. The worship of the eternal Vigraha as performed in Vaishnava Dhamma is Nitya Dhamma. Then the question, but Sri Vigraha that is worshipped is fashioned by a human being, so how can it be eternal? Answer. The Vigraha worshipped by Vaishnavas is not like that. The Lord is not formless, like Brahma. On the contrary, He is the all-powerful, concentrated embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It is that Satchidananda Gana Vigraha that is the worshipful deity of the Vaishnavas. The Lord's transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge is first revealed in the pure consciousness of the jiva, and then it is reflected in the mind. The external form of the deity is fashioned according to this transcendental form revealed in the mind, and by the power of bhakti yoga, the Satchidananda form of the Lord then manifests in the deity. When the devotee takes darshan of the deity, that deity unites with the transcendental form of the Lord that the devotee sees in his heart. The deity that the jnanis worship, however, is not like that. They think that the deity is a statue made of material elements, but that the state of Brahma is present in it while they are conducting their worship, and that it becomes a mere material statue again after they have finished their worship. Now you should consider the difference between these two conceptions of the deity and their respective methods of worship. When you obtain Vaishnava Diksha by the mercy of a genuine guru, you will be able to correctly understand this difference by observing the results of both. Then the inquirer says, yes, now this all makes more sense to me. Now I see that the Vaishnavas are not just fanatics driven by blind faith. Rather, they are endowed with subtle and discriminating insight. There is a major difference between the worship of the Sri Murti and the temporary worship of an imaginary form of the Lord that has been imposed on a material object. there is no difference in the external procedures of worship, but there is a vast difference in the faith of the two worshippers. I will think about this for some days. Today, my greatest doubt has been dispelled. Now, I can say emphatically that the Gyani's worship is merely an attempt to cheat the Lord. I will submit this topic at your feet again at a later time. Excuse me, I went quickly because I wanted to finish it before the microphone goes dead. But it really helps us, this helps us to understand that, of course, he's speaking about those who imagine a form of the Lord, and they worship that form in order to achieve a particular end. And therefore they say that the form of the Lord is a temporary form which facilitates their worship, but ultimately our worship goes beyond this form. And such persons, of course, their worship will not bring them to the destination which any of the worshippers we previously described achieve. Dead end. They will not get. But those who worship a particular form of the Lord, of course not dead end, they'll get the result of their worship, which is they may merge into the impersonal Brahman. But they'll fall down from that position of imagined superiority, having failed to take shelter in the eternal form and worshipping the lotus feet of that eternal form of the Lord. They'll fall down from that position. Therefore, the devotee, his method of worship, is he understands that this is not a temporary form, but it is the form of the Lord who is actually descended and accepted this form for my benefit, for my worship, and it is an eternal form, and that any service rendered to this eternal form is eternal service, because that service will not end when I leave. Service will continue with that form upon whom my meditation is resolute. Therefore, we generally understand the devotee, he has his Ishtadev, his worshipable deity, whom he worships with a resolute desire to satisfy, to please, to satisfy the senses of his worshipable deity. And in this way, that service continues because of his resolute desire to satisfy the Lord, who's very kindly agreed to appear in that form, in that place. And this is exactly what the Vaishnava is telling the Mathura Brahman. Being compassionate to the Mathura Brahman, he's telling him, you don't understand who this person is that we're worshipping. There were a few more verses that he goes on to explain, describing how this form of the Lord is described in the Shastra, in this, he's an eternal form. And please do not speak in such a denigrating way again about the method of worship and about the worshippers. What to speak of about the form of the Lord who's being worshipped. So we understand that is the deity whom Srila Prabhupada has so kindly manifested in so many different places We have the examples we're given here of in Jagannath Puri, and I can't remember what were the other places that were given in today's verse. I will find it very quickly, hopefully. I'm in the wrong chapter. Yes, Jagannath, Ranganath in Rangapuri, Sankarsana in Ilavrita, Varsha, and we have the Lord who has very kindly manifested himself also in so many places by the request of his pure devotee in Radha Shyama Sundar, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, Radha Madhava, in Sri Mayapur Dham, and so many other places. We cannot possibly list them all in this short presentation. Therefore, this is how the Lord very playfully displays his pastimes here on earth, by very kindly agreeing to accept the worship of those who worship him in the mood, in a resolute mood, and a desire to please and to satisfy their senses, the divine couple's senses, Radha Madhava, Radha Shyama Sundar. That is also one point expanded upon in today's verse. I will end here, and we have only covered half of the commentary, and we will continue on Saturday. Today's Monday, Saturday. We'll continue on Saturday with the same verse and same section. And I can chant japa as long as I'm here. And if at some point I'm not here, it will be the end of today's session. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. We will end here.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.